So it is good to be together. It's good to gather together. As we're going to see this morning, it's good to assemble together, kind of turn our attention away from maybe the stuff of life and turn our attention to the one who gives life. And so for that, I want to invite us to the book of Exodus. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 66. Words will be on this lovely screen behind me. The book of Exodus, Sefer Shemot, literally the book of names. We are continuing to dive into the Jesus backstory today, working our way again through the first five books of our Bibles. Noting again, the first five books collectively are known as the Pentateuch, as the Torah in Judaism, the Torah being divided into 54 parshiot. We've traveled 21 of them now, and today is the 22nd. Parsha Vayakel. It travels from Exodus 35 and 1 and all the way through to 38 and 20. And it begins at the opening line, 35 and 1. Vayakel Moshe et kolatat b'nei Israel, and gathered Moses, all the people, all the community of the Israelites. And in many respects, that is about as exciting as it gets. In fact, from here, there is just a very brief comment regarding the Sabbath, and then really the rest of the Parsha is again about the building, the constructing of the Mishkan, something that has been repeated over and over, and even here, all through this Parsha, Parsha Vayakel, it repeats over and over. Verse after verse, we read of things like gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and scarlet. There is yarn and fine linen, there's goat hair and ram skins, wood and olive oil, spices, stones and gems, oh my, coverings and clasps, there's frames, there's crossbars, posts and poles, curtains, ropes, not to mention the tabernacle and the ark and the table and the lampstand and the altars and the basin, and of course we have the courtyard. All of which is not only repeated throughout this Parsha, but it's also a repeat of Parsha Truma and Parsha Tetzaveh. Same details, repeated verbatim. Really, the only difference here is that earlier it was about instruction, and here it's about construction, about the constructing of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And with that, here we get none of that sort of interrupting theater. Laid to rest is all the kind of high drama and intrigue of parshas gone by. And yet, as we have seen over and over and over again, all the way back to the very beginning of this series, over and over and over again, we find it's really in the midst of the seemingly unassuming that we find something of what is tremendous significance. And it's no less today. It's here in the opening line again, 35 and 1. We find it in the form of a contrast here. Most recently, if we think back to Parsha Kitisa, most recently there was a gathering of the people. It was a gathering of the people around the building of the golden calf, the idol. From 32 and 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, Ayikahel Ha'am al Aharon, gathered they around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. And so what we have here is juxtaposed against the gathering of the people and the building of the constructing of the golden calf, the idol. Here we have the gathering of the people, again, the gathering of the people, and yet now they are gathering for the building of the Mishkan, for the constructing of the Mishkan, for the creating a space for the presence of God to dwell, right? No longer turning away from God, but here we read they are turning toward God and gathered Moses, all the community of the Israelites. And it's into that activity, the activity of a gathered community, that we find not only a deep significance, but I would say we find our deep significance. We find our deep significance. Noting the next line, we read, First, we read Moses gathered, and then the next line we read, these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. Point being, we are called to be a people who do stuff. Absolutely. And yet notice, first thing, before we do stuff, right, it says we are to be a gathered people, a gathered people. Moses gathered together all the community of the Israelites. Now, to get a little bit more insight, we drop down into that a little bit. And a couple of things. First, vayakhel can be and is often translated as assembled, to assemble. In fact, I think just about every translation has assembled. Noting that assembled is about the fitting together of different pieces, the fitting together of different parts, or we could say components. And second, noting that this whole action that we read about here, it's all in the singular. Right? And so not only is Moses gathering the people together, not only is he fitting them together, the different components, but he's doing it so that they may be as one. Right? Moses, he gathers together the community. He assembles, fitting all the different parts together so that they may be as one. That perhaps becomes even a little bit more clear if we dive down into it just a little bit more, noting that all through this text, there are two names that are mentioned. Only two parts that are actually named in the whole of this parsha, Bezalel and Oholiab. They were actually first introduced last week in Parsha Kitisa 31:1. Then the Lord Yahweh said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, of the tribe of Judah." Verse 3, "And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, all kinds of skills." And then verse 6, "Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, the tribe of Dan, to help." And then here again today, we read again, those two names are singled out. 35 and 30, "Then Moses said to the Israelites," first God was speaking to Moses, and now Moses is speaking to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God." Verse 34, "And he has given both him," Bezalel, "and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others." So, 36:1, Bezalel, Oholiab, and then it says, "every skilled person," so not named, but "every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing this sanctuary, the building of and creating space for the presence of God, are to do the work just as the Lord Yahweh has commanded." And so again, it's this idea of Moses, right? He gathers together, he assembles, fitting together these different parts so that they may be as one. And yet it's interesting, only two of those parts are named. No one else. Not one other part in the whole of this parsha or anywhere is really named. And so the question then becomes, why? Why is it that we just get these two names? What is the significance of that? And then maybe the deeper question is, how might that give us insight into the heart of God? How might that give insight into the heart of God? And the answer comes through Jewish scholarship, which tells us it is found specifically in their differentness. Rabbi Solomon ben Isaac, known by the acronym Rashi, one of the great Jewish scholars throughout time, as he puts it, this is from Tanhuma, I believe, "And Oholiab of the tribe of Dan, of the lowest of the tribes, of the sons of the handmaidens, Bilhah and Zilpah," Dan was Bilhah's son, "yet the omnipresent compared him," Oholiab, "to Bezalel for the work of the Mishkan, and he," Bezalel, "was of the greatest of the tribes, Judah, to fulfill what is said," and this is from Job, "and a prince was not recognized over a poor man." Now, with that, by way of remembrance, we can think back to, again, to last week, Parsha Ki Tisa, where in the midst of all of the differentness, even there, writes Rabbi Sarah Gershuni, our human value is innately immeasurable. No one is, nor ever could be, just a number. And so in that sense, again, right, each one, every one, right, more than just a number, each one, every one is unique, is precious. Each one, every one is a deeply valued treasure. Each one, every one of equal value and equal worth. And we can think back even farther to Genesis 49, Parsha Vayehi, which, by the way, was all about relationships. And note the language there. Then Jacob called for his sons, and catch this, and said, gather around. Interesting language. Jacob, right, gathering his sons around. And then from verse 2, it says, assemble. Assemble and listen. Gather around and assemble. And remember that things were not really in a good way between the brothers, at least not at this particular time. They were really at odds with one another. And so there was all kinds of conflict and dispute and disagreement. And yet we read right there in the text, it says gather, it says assemble. Keeping in mind, as Rabbi Alex Israel puts it, the togetherness that Jacob proposes for his children is one that takes account of the differences. This approach stresses unity, but not a unity through conformity and uniformity. In fact, Jacob goes a step further. The family will be built precisely because of the tribe's differences. From the Jewish columnist Katia Bulletin, she writes that while Bezalel was of esteemed lineage and Oholiab was from the lowest of the tribes, the Torah equates their talents. This sent a message that neither background nor social status influence God. Every individual's contribution is equally meaningful. And by respecting and valuing each person's contribution, Moses demonstrated that everyone mattered. Right? And so each and every one, right? Each one, every one, more than just a number, each one, every one, unique and precious. You are unique and precious. Each one, every one, right? A deeply valued treasure. You are a deeply valued treasure. Each one, every one. You can look to your left, your right, behind, before. Each one, every one of equal value, of equal worth. And we can add to that today, each one, every one matters. You matter. You matter. You matter. And that's not only found here in the backstory of Jesus, but we read that actually flowing in and through the very life of Jesus. Shortly before his crucifixion, we read in part, Jesus is praying here. This is John 17:1. We read, Father, the hour has come, meaning the time, it's here and it's now. And I would say that was for then and it's also for this moment. Right? The time is here and it's now. Dropping down to verse 22, we read, I, Jesus, have given them. We could say, I, Jesus, have given the gathered community. We could say, I, Jesus, have given the assembled gathering. I, Jesus, have given the gathered community, the assembly of different parts. He says, I have given them the glory. What is from the Greek doxa? It does mean splendor as in appearance. It's interesting that all throughout ancient Greek world, it is used to describe the way one thinks or how one thinks. It refers to one's view. It refers to one's understanding. We can think of that idea of paradigm. And so we could, in a sense, translate this, I, Jesus, have given the gathered community, right, the assembly of different parts. I have given them the view, the understanding, that the paradigm that you, Father, gave me, that they, meaning here's the reason, that they may be one as we are one. And then verse 23, I in them, you and me, right, relationship together, so that they may be brought to, it says, complete oneness. And it's the heart of God. From beginning to end, he gathers together, right, fitting together the different parts, the different components, so that they may be as one. And it's that idea that then continues all through the New Testament. And we get it specifically here from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, chapter 12 and verse 4. It's there we read, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, with each member belonging to all the others." Translation: each one, everyone matters. He writes the same to those in Corinth. 12 and 12, we've looked at this a number of times. 12 and 12, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." And then it's interesting, he presses into specifically some of our differentness. He says, whether Jews or Gentiles. He goes on, slave or free, right? He's talking about ethnic differences. He's talking about social differences. Verse 14, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Right, again, the heart of God from back from the very beginning all the way through the life of Jesus. Right, he gathers together. He assembles the community, fitting us together, all the different parts. Again, translation, each one, everyone matters. Which really then begs the question, do we live like each one, everyone matters? We could think back to Moses and that whole activity of gathering and kind of break this down and ask, do I make it my practice to gather together in community? Right, in a sense, do I make it my practice simply to do that act of gathering together? And maybe I'm preaching to the choir because you're actually here. But it's in the activity of gathering together that we demonstrate to another, you matter. Right, and in that sense, your being here isn't really just about you. It is. But you being here is about the person next to you. You being here is about the person behind you and in front of you. It's about communicating to every other that you matter. Right? That I am a part of you. That we are connected. Do I make it my practice to gather together in community? We could ask, do I live with the awareness that I am connected with others as one body? Do I live with the awareness that I am connected with others as one body, right? Others who specifically are different. Do I embrace all others in all our differentness? Right? Not ignoring it, not excusing it, not disparaging it, not criticizing it, but do I embrace all others in all of our differentness? We can ask, do I recognize my need for the one who is different from me? Right, all the different parts of the body, we need one another in a profound sort of way. Do I recognize my need for the one who is different from me? Do I value the differentness that others contribute? Whether you know it or not, you have contributed here this morning. Right, Dan did a part, Ava Joy did a part, Andy's doing a part. Right, your presence here is a part. Each one is doing a part. I guarantee you that your being here is an encouragement to someone else. Your being here is an encouragement to the other parts of this body. Do I value the differentness that others contribute? And then to wrap up, how can I actively participate in the building of our community? How can I actively participate in the building up of our community. To put it another way, we could say, how will I participate in the expression of community life? Vayakel Moshe et Kolatat B'nai Israel, and gathered Moses all the community of the Israelites.